One.
Everybody, welcome to WeChat News. We've got two humans today talking about all these things with data destruction and compliance issues. It's getting serious now because the law is on us on this game. We've got Brendan and we've got Dale. Welcome, both of you. How are you?
Wonderful. How
Good
are you?
Good afternoon.
All right.
Doing well.
Great to
let's
be
jump
here.
Into this. So your company, I mean, obviously you're doing more than just wiping data, but just give me the overview of what does Guardian do?
Sure. Guardian is a company that provides field service and technical expertise to companies that are in the IT world, and we help them service their customers. And we do that in a wide variety of ways. We do logistics. We do data destruction, and we also do media destruction, because there's a fine line between there. You can destroy the data, or you can destroy the media that holds the data. So that would be shredding. We do on-site wiping. We do on-site audits, lift and shift. So we're decommissioning data centers, as companies move to the cloud. So basically, we are a field service extension for the IT family.
Well, congratulations on that. You're channel focused, right? And centric around helping the channel. You know, sometimes, you know, we have vendors that's on the fence doing both, right? Which is, we frowned upon, right? Because you got to pick a side. So that's great right. news.
Yeah, it's very difficult for those companies to do both, to do the end user and the channel, because you end up having kind of wholesale and retail pricing, and you end up stepping on relationships where we focus only on the channel, and then we go through the channel and then out to their customers, which represent every industry, every size business that you can imagine, throughout the world.
And we find that it's a win-win situation as being in the channel. It's much easier to be a partner, to tag onto what Dale was saying, that, you know, there's no distrust that one might circumvent the other. So that creates that chain that you were saying, with you're only as good as your weakest link. So they really, our relationships with our clients extend over years, and we're an extension of their team. Sometimes you hear that in marketing, but it really is how we handle our customers and our clients, between communication, chain of custody, and everything throughout the process that we'll discuss. The customers really see us as an extension of their organizations.
That's so good to know. So let me zoom out a little bit. I mean, before we talk about, you know, all kind of compliance issues and so on. So managing, you know, all this tin or hardware going in is one way, but then, you know, there's an exit, you know, what happens after it, retires, or what's going on. And typically companies like yours would take the equipment, and then they would figure out if they could recycle it or reuse it or repurpose it, that type of stuff. And then, you know, when you're recycling it, I'm assuming you're recycling it at the, you know, high levels and doing the right things and so on to remove the stuff from going into the landfills, basically. Yeah. Right. Because that's the worst thing that could happen. If you believe in climate change, which I hope you do, we want to prevent the stuff from going into the landfills. Right. And then getting into the waters and so on and so forth. So give me the broad strokes. Are you handling, like, I'm an MSP, and I've got 1,000 computers at a company that I'm going to be refreshing, and umpteen servers. I pick up the phone and call Dale and Brandon, and then you guys come in with your trucks and take that stuff out. And give me just an overview of how that works.
Sure, absolutely. Our customers, the majority of which are ITAD, Information Technology Asset Disposition Companies. So they're used to processing assets from their customers' facilities, either through remarketing, reselling, or recycle, just depending on what the asset is, its relative market value, if it still works, if it's functional or not. So what we do is we go on site and help get the product out of their customer's environment. We take care of the data security risk that's on site before those assets travel, by wiping and shredding, a combination of both. And then those assets are shipped back to our customer, to the ITAD or the reseller. Mm-hmm. And those are the folks that are then doing the remarketing and doing the recycling. our the majority of our recycling ends up to be shred results. So we go on site and we shred 5,000 hard drives. We end up with all the shred material, and that goes through environmentally friendly recycling process. But it's actually our customers who are doing the final disposition of the majority of the assets that we touch on site for them and pull out of their customer facility.
Got it. So in a way, you're making sure that the secure part is done, because as you clearly pointed out, you don't want to be having your data traveling in some truck somewhere, right? Apparently things fall off trucks, so they say.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Brendan, anything you want to add to that and how it all works and comes together?
Yeah, I wanted to add that the scope that's defined on the project that you're discussing, or any project, is defined by the end user, by the customer, what their IT compliance departments have set forth for them to do. So it's very, very important that the organizations themselves understand what they're doing with their assets, where they're doing it, and what their exposure is. So as we work with our customers and with those end users, and we help them understand those issues, we help them define the scopes that are necessary that should be handled on site. As Dale and I were having a discussion earlier, is no data should travel. As far as we're concerned, it should be dealt with on site. There are obviously, with anything, there's little instances here and there that it's possible, but we feel that it should be handled on site. Most of our customers, you know, feel the same way. And the chain of custody, the documentation, the certifications throughout the entire process need to be buttoned. It needs to be that link that you're talking about that doesn't get broken, that and the customers are confident that it's going from point A to point B. So much time in this industry over the years as we've developed, there's just been a trust level of, well, it's going to a responsible recycler and it'll be handled. Well, we've noticed all of us that have been around the industry have learned from mistakes. And I don't think that most situations are that the customers were trying to do something mischievous. It's just that volume creates more opportunities and lack of process and opportunities for mistakes. So as an on-site service company, in doing what Dale was talking about and all the services that we handle, it takes that risk from putting it on a truck and hoping it happens at the other side. So that's what I'd like to add.
Look, I've seen this firsthand, and I know the folks generally at these recycling units, right, are not quite up to speed. You know, it's like trucks are going in and out. People are throwing stuff around. It doesn't look that secure to me. And when you're playing with your data, especially today, I mean, it used to be, you know, I mean, who's going to go after and get your data, right? I mean, and you get your hard drive out and take the time to extrapolate it and so on. But now with cybersecurity and all the things we hear about every day, you know, people looking for insights, right? And getting hold of somebody's hard drive, the amount of data you could pull off of that is quite extraordinary. And it's even worse now because, A, you know, let's say, oh, they're smart and they've encrypted it. Congratulations, right? The bad actors keep it until they're able to afford, you know, quantum computing to decrypt it. And then they go, well, thank you for waiting for a few years. Like, you know, you buy a wine, you know, and you wait a few years until it really becomes more valuable. Well, you know what? I look at data like that now. It's like you buy a wine, keep it for a few years, wait until decryption is available, and then it becomes really valuable. But so what you're doing is injecting yourself in the equation to ensure that, you know, that data, when it leaves the facility, is really just wiped, right? So talk just a little bit about that process. I'm assuming you're taking machinery and equipment on board to a facilities to do all those things. And you know, anything you want to add about how long it takes or what's involved or things like that?
Sure. Yeah. Our favorite engagements are the ones that use multiple cert touch points. And as we get deeper into the NIST guideline, we'll show and talk about the different levels of data security based on the asset itself. If you look at an organization, it doesn't matter the size, a 10-person company or a 100,000-person company, not every computer or IT asset has the same amount of risk because of what's on their device. Mm. You definitely don't want HR, that has everything. You don't want the C-level that has all the corporate secrets, trade secrets, future development, that's a much higher risk than potentially a help desk computer. Mm. So, and that's one of the things that NIST does, but our favorite engagements are the ones that involve a clear cut policy and procedure that we're following that will say, this group of assets, we want wiped for these reasons. And those reasons are logical because they're lower risk in terms of data breach, and there's resale value, and it's contributing to our environmental goals. Mm. Because you're reusing the media, you're just eliminating the data. And then to attach to that service would be the shredding service. At some point, every hard drive needs to be shredded because it won't work anymore. It needs to go to recycling because there's no functionality left, and you need to, there could still be data that is retrievable even if the device itself doesn't work.
Yeah.
You just have to go about it a different way, a scientific approach as opposed to a keyboard attack. So we like to go into an environment and offer, we're one of the few companies that can offer the full solution of, well, we can wipe the appropriate ones, we'll shred the appropriate ones, anything that fails the wipe process because of the hard drive is failing or the software says this is not 100% verified, that automatically then goes into the shred category.
Right.
So it's an all-encompassing solution. In terms of the time, we actually have a fascinating internal study because we've done so far this year in 2024 a record-breaking number of enterprise, data center, servers, storage arrays, of on-site wiping. I think over about 15,000 in January alone. And one of our lead technicians built a summary report that labeled make and model of hard drive and firmware and how long it took to run the appropriate software to wipe those. And it's dramatically different. Sometimes depending on the standard, you might be able to wipe a solid state drive in a couple minutes as compared to the DoD standard, which took hours, sometimes days. But it varies dramatically within one machine, within one rack of storage arrays. We can have machines that will wipe and take 24 hours, and we'll have similar looking but different make, model, and firmware that will take an hour.
And we've even had exact same makes, models, size, drives, same firmware have two drastically different wipe times. And that has to do, our assumptions and the research that we've done based on its usage, mostly onto the usage of the drive. And most of the time, the drive that's taking significantly longer is probably on its way to needing to be shred.
It's just wearing out.
Yeah. Well, look, at the end of the day, right? It's not easy peasy. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not just like, let me put a magnet over the hard drive, right? And boom, you're done. The message there is that I think, you're careful. You're doing things that needs to be done properly. And there's obviously reporting. That's where the NIST thing comes in, right? You just can't say, ooh, I cleaned it, right? And then hope, cross your fingers and hope that it works, right? So NIST now has some compliance. And now you've got obviously reporting and some kind of, I guess, certification that, it is cleaned, right?
Because
somebody's going to want to have a neck to choke if something happens, right? Tell me a bit about the NIST and how that's changing the game and the compliance reports and stuff that you do.
Sure. NIST has been phenomenal. I've been in the industry since 95, 96. Starting with the DoD standard, That was around for years, but you know, hasn't been updated in eons, 15 years potentially, I think. But that was really the standard for so long, and it fit for a while, but it was made specifically for the military, and then industry just said, well, there's nothing else out there. Let's use what the U.S. military is doing. So they took the Department of Defense standard. NIST took an approach to say, it doesn't matter if it's the Pentagon or if it's a credit card company or an insurance company or a hospital, we're going to develop a standard that has more to do with the media that's current today. You know, if you've been around long enough, you remember the first time you saw a solid state drive and you were like, wow, this is really unique. This is totally different. No platters, you know, nothing spin. There's no moving parts, you know, and it was revolutionary.
Well, he said, how they do that?
Right. It changed the way we think about data storage. Well, as the technology of data storage changed, so did the standards that followed. What do you do with those media pieces to successfully remove data? And solid state was huge. Encryption absolutely, you know, changed the marketplace. So what NIST does, as opposed to the DoD standard, which used to say everything had to do with the number of times you rewrote data. And if you want to go back to a super old analogy, if you had a piece of paper that, and you typed, you know, like a college, what I had to do in college was type. and you type a piece of paper, if you didn't want anybody to read it, you could shred it, or you could put it back in the typewriter and just keep typing and just keep typing over and over and over and over, no space bar. And you'd eventually have a black page with all ink that you can't read anything. That's what the DoD standard was doing. It said, rewrite that hard drive with zeros. Just write zeros all the way from start to finish. Then go back to the beginning, write it with ones. Just keep typing over that page. And then go back a third time and rewrite it with random characters that are just generated, you know, with an algorithm. And just keep typing on that page until nobody can read what was on it originally. And then go back and see if you can read anything and do 100% verification. And that's what it was. Well, the read-write technology of a solid-state drive is completely different than it is on a platter drive. So NIST looked at, we have all this new technology out there. We have to design a program to make it a universal standard, which is what I love about NIST. I'm going to get off topic a little, but my favorite story of NIST is fire hoses and fire hydrants. You know, they've been around forever. They're not just technology. The Baltimore fire of the early 1900s, 1904, 1905, whatever it was, Baltimore is burning, and the Baltimore Fire Department is overwhelmed. So word gets out, and people from other cities start coming in with their fire trucks. Every different city had a different fire hydrant and a different hose, and they couldn't connect. They had enough water, enough people, and enough equipment, but the hose wouldn't connect to the fire hydrant. So the city burned for 30 hours. That's my favorite NIST story. So they took that same approach and said, let's make a standard that makes sense to everybody, which is why now every fire hose in the country can hook up to any fire hydrant in the country. So
good hope, right?
Yeah. Thank goodness. So the NIST standard does that with a simple format of three choices of data destruction: clear, purge, or destroy. It's very, very simple. It has nothing to do with how many times you write. It's built specifically toward the media that was around when NIST was created. You know, it was very current at the time. It's starting to wane a little bit. They've been working on a second revision, but we believe that IEEE, which has come out with a new standard in 2022, will pretty much replace NIST, the 800-88 standard, which is revision one, which is the current standard. Feel free to, you know, just reach out and
Look,
slap me anytime, because I talk in circles sometimes.
Yeah, well, look, you know, so at the end of the day, right, these organizations, NIST, governments, DoD, they're all trying to figure out like how to, you know, get this right. And they only know what they know. And technology is changing so fast. And AI, I'll bet you AI will probably be able to reread all the DoD stuff today and read the last print of the last one. So, yeah, it needs to be adjusted as we go, because the only way really you could probably say for sure that the data is gone is if you shred that thing, right? Because I'm not quite sure someone's got the capabilities, the labor knowledge to put that thing back together. So, you know, at the end of the day too, as well, we should also make a note that when you go to your computer and you just simply erase stuff, right? It's not erased, right? You can easily bring that back. So erasing doesn't mean erased, right? It's a whole different game. So you need to make sure you're following some stringent standards, because now, right, there's all kind of compliance issues. Regulations around privacy of information and so on, and somebody's going to have to make sure that the data they're using is properly getting rid of or deleted, so to speak. And so you know that, and that's what you're doing. What do you want the channel to know now? My last question is about this issue. Like, why is this important, right, for these channel partners to embed in their playbook?
Brendan, why don't you take that? Because I think you have a story of a request you had yesterday.
The confusion is still, believe it or not, there, since the DoD standard hasn't been updated since 2008. There's still very much confusion of what the right standard is to be using, which is why we put together a reference guide from an overview, simple approach. To explain the differences between the standards. Yesterday, we had an organization come to us, and the end user had asked for a NIST 7-pass wipe. That's not uncommon. And obviously, that is just not a standard. It's two standards.
There's no such thing as NIST 7.
There's a DoD 7, and there's a NIST, and there's a NIST purging clear. But it's not uncommon that comes in. And then when we go back to our customer and then ultimately down to the end user, that actually feeds up into their compliance groups that just aren't educated enough to understand the standards, even through their IT, through their IT groups. And do they have the patience or the time to understand it? They're, you know, a lot of the times, you know, that we've been in this industry, it's, I just want the piece of paper that says, it's taken care of.
Check a box.
And, check a box. We're more concerned that the customers understand that it's being taken care of properly. So that education process of understanding what NIST is compared to DOD, and everybody hears DOD, Department of Defense, and they say, government's
gotta
doing
be better.
It's got to be better. And it's just not true. And we're having a very difficult time or challenging time educating the industry about that this many years later. So it is something that we really need to push out into the marketplace and educate the customers. And that's why we created this pretty simple NIST 88 Rev 1 standard reference guide that will walk them through from multiple different things, from what Dale was saying, what clear is, what purge is, what destroy is. It gives examples of what the standards, whether it's against a keyboard attack, a forensic attack, or whether it's physically destroying the drive, and what your capacity for the security on the device is, and then a checklist of what's important to you. Right. So that kind of like guides you into clear, purge, destroy. It's a two-pager, so it's not gonna. You go to the NIST guidelines and 70, 80 pages of, pretty dry material. We wanted to kind of boil that down into something that was easily readable. And then if there was any questions, we could answer them. So Great. If I have to say, the importance is getting customers to understand what the right thing to be doing is and why.
Absolutely. And look, so we're going to put a link to that thing for you guys in the video as we go through. But first step, right, is education. I mean, we don't know what we don't know. And some people just think they know everything. and they get a buzzword and they just want to throw it out there. And I hate those folks that want to do a checkbox. By the way, they used to do this for insurance now, right? Oh, let me just, you did this, this, and this, your check, you got insurance. Now, cybersecurity insurance, a whole different game. It's not just a checkbox, right? And if you just think you get cyber insurance with a checkbox, you know, good luck. When you do get breached, you might not get paid. So it is becoming complex. Cybersecurity is really coming down to the weakest link is where everybody in the hacker world, the bad actor world, is zooming in on, right? And getting a hold of somebody's data computer that they could play around with for hours seems to me like, oh, I've discovered, you know, gold, you know?
Right.
So it's hard enough to get through, you know, these networks. But if you allow your data to be out there and not be inaccessible by these bad actors, that's the worst thing possible. So you're doing a fantastic thing to try to get the channel to get up to speed, but also they got to educate their customers, right? So they got to know what's going on, but they got to be able to say, look, if you want to be in compliance, here's the gig, right? And here's why. And they've got to, you know, explain this through the lens, not just because it's good to do because of privacy, which is always a great thing, but because of the cybersecurity threat it poses if you don't do it. And I think that's sort of where people are getting a little serious now about like, where are the threats? And maybe that's the one that they need to learn about. I'll leave you folks to the last word, Dale and Brendan. What do you want everybody to know?
Well, in general is we recommend that everybody have a data security plan based on sound guidelines. The best information that's available at this moment in time, have a plan and then implement that plan using, really, it's best to use a third-party vendor. So, because a third party is neutral as opposed to trying to do it yourself, it's always best to use a third party. They should be NAID AAA certified if they're doing this work. And verify that chain of custody. Brendan mentioned earlier that chain of custody, it isn't what you did, it's what you can prove you did. Mm. And you have to have proof, and data should never travel. Take care of the data where it lives and then worry about the hardware later. I was doing just a quick little story. I was doing a group discussion at a trade industry trade show, and we were talking about data security. And one of the panelists said, think about the data in your car because you connect your phone. Mm-hmm. And I said, I kind of made a joke and I said, my shredder isn't big enough to shred the car. Like, we have to take care of the data. I don't have to shred the car. We just have to take care of the data and then we'll be safe.
Sounds like a joke in there. I need a bigger shredder.
Right. We need a bigger shredder. I have to shred an SUV.
And then what do you want to say as your last word?
Yeah, just to tag on to what Dale was saying and what we've all been alluding to. I mean, data, all of the original or the places that we as IT professionals understand that it is in the servers and the storage and the desktops and the laptops, the phones. That's a small percentage of where data is living these days. Hmm. So getting the channel up to speed with the changes in that technology alone. And then when you get into Internet of Things on how to handle all of that, as Dale was saying, he did a conversation in regards to that. I did a conversation in regards to your data is increasing like Moore's law was with speed and technology. It's being measured in zettabytes, and us as IT professionals need to back up, check our egos, and say we don't know where all this data is. And if you take that approach, you are going to find where it is. On every single asset that comes through your organization, you'll be able to handle it properly. If you don't, you're going to end up with a lot of data breaches.
Totally. Well, I'll give you another reason why you should outsource this to a company that knows what they're doing. Just liability. You know, it's like, I don't want to have that over my shoulder. You know, that's the hard part, right? You gotta outsource things to people who know what they're doing. And, people don't understand this, but if they don't understand it, right, every end customer has about five or six, seven, eight partners at the table. And each of those partners bring a certain skill set and asset to their company for technology management. And you don't have to be the person that does all eight, nine things, right? You just got to know who are the people I want to bring in for that one thing that I need to bring to solve that problem. And so if I was an MSP, I'd have somebody like Guardian, you know, being there. Like, if you're going to talk about shredding some data, I'm going to have someone come in because I have no clue what I'm talking about. And, you know, I'll leave it there. It's what's the best way for them to reach you guys? What's your website?
Yeah, GuardianDataDestruction.com.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you all very much. It's a big, important topic. And I think what's interesting is that all the dots are connected, right? And you just cannot leave things anymore to chance. And I just think this is an important part of the whole cybersecurity game and privacy issues. And great that people are taking it serious. Thank you both. Cheers.
Appreciate it.
Cheers. Thank you.